303-447-9911. And next week.
Thank you.
Okay, next week, Monday, December 1st, 2014, please listen to La Lucha Sigue at 6 p.m. This has been the Labor Exchange, and I'm Dennis Kreese for KGNU Boulder, KGNU Denver, and KGNU.org.
Dip, 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 dip. Sha-la-la, sha-la-la, puddle. Sha-la-la, sha-la-la, puddle. Sha-la-la,
this is your community radio station, KGNU, Boulder, Denver. It's 6:30 and time for our locally produced LGBTQ show, Outsources. Stay tuned.
Good evening, and welcome to Outsources, a weekly KGNU program that brings you content related to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and queer communities. I'm Sean Kenny, and tonight we're stepping into a space often saved for late nights and dimly lit spaces known for transgressing social norms, as we explore the relationship between burlesque performance, sexual expression, identity, and healing. I'm in the studio today with Lacey Jump and Jenna Noah, two members of the Boulder Burlesque Troupe. This is a troupe that defines their work as conscious burlesque, which delves into sensuality and intimacy through community, group process, somatic experience, and artistic expression. They seek to unveil sexual taboo through exploring internal experiences, biases, and belief systems. Well, Jenna and Lacey, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for joining us tonight. Could you just start by saying your preferred gender pronouns and maybe briefly your role and history with Boulder Burlesque? Jenna, if you want to start.
Sure. Thank you. My name is Jenna Noah, and in my stage world, I go as Madame Mercy. And my preferred gender pronouns are she, her, and hers. My role with Boulder Burlesque has been an amazing one. I actually founded the troupe around 4.5 years ago with a group of friends and some folks that I auditioned. And I've been participating in the group ever since. I lead it now. I co-lead it actually with a few other women. And it's been an amazing journey.
Great. Thanks so much. Lacey?
All right, so I go by King Luke, and so I think for the rest of this, I will go by King Luke.
Perfect.
Instead of Lacey. What do I identify as? Really, it's a fluid experience for me, I feel. I do strongly identify as female, but him, it, really, whatever, is perfectly fine. I joined the troupe about a year ago. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, just to do it. I enjoy dancing, and so I joined to dance and to explore this world that I haven't really dived into and to see what that could mean for me and just to grow as a sexual being and see what that exactly would look like. I didn't really have any fully understood end goals, and so it's just been a journey, as it still is, and I've grown tremendously. So,
well, maybe let's start with this idea of burlesque. I want to acknowledge that maybe some of our audience members might not be aware of even the term burlesque, let alone conscious burlesque. So could we just start there and maybe to the extent that you know, give a little history about burlesque and specifically where conscious burlesque fits in there?
Great. Yeah, I'm happy I can start in that realm and see if you have anything to add in.
That's
Luke.
Good.
So burlesque was the original tease. It was a sort of seductive strip that came, I don't know, maybe out of the 20s. I'm not actually sure of the very origins, like the beginning years.
I mean, that sounds right.
Around maybe the 20s. Look it up to double check on it. But it started off as a traditional tease and was done. If you look back on the burlesque photos, they're not close to as actually evocative as we have today, like the images and the body, like the way that the body is exposed. The outfits they wear are actually far more conservative than what we have now. But it was also used as a political form of expression. So people would often have like political narratives or campy stylistic ways of bringing sort of what was happening in the society mm-hmm. at the time to life on stage. And there was often humor involved, and the cabarets would have, you know, mixes of really humorous pieces, really funny pieces, and also often political pieces.
Mm-hmm.
From that, there's a form of burlesque that sort of emerged is a neo-burlesque form where it includes a lot of things. Like in that category, burlesque, it's maybe more of a modern category, and people are still picking up incredible storyline and political trends, but there are also people that are doing pieces about confidence and body image and bringing a lot more dance also into the burlesque realm. And then for us, conscious burlesque is a practice where our goal, whether we always meet it or not, our goal is to make conscious some of the shadow aspects of the self. And that those pieces are far easier to become more conscious when they're on stage because it's like a little melting pot of intensity. Like you, when you put something on stage, all of your feelings become far more visceral. And so in the conscious burlesque realm, we have about an hour of group process before every practice, pretty much, where we're talking about our own belief systems, our biases, what's coming up for us around our body image, what's coming up for us sexually, how our dance pieces are either reflecting that or not reflecting that, how our characters are developing, and also our relationships with one another. Like mm-hmm. if there's sometimes innate, in terms of dance troupes, jealousy or power dynamics or all kinds of things that can come up. So those things are, we're really doing our best to bring those to light. And then also in the performance, we're really trying to bring to light some subconscious parts of sexuality.
Bringing up so many interesting points, even just talking about the roots of burlesque and conscious burlesque, I think at least maybe certain biases that people might have when thinking about burlesque is that it's, you know, this idea of a tease or created for and organized for the sake of maybe male arousal. At least on a surface level, there might be that perception of burlesque.
Mm-hmm.
And so the idea that it can be a space for healing, for exploring identity and especially empowerment of sexual identity rather than perhaps oppression of it, I think might be new to some audience members.
Yeah.
So I'm curious because what you're talking about with conscious burlesque really involves bearing your fears, vulnerabilities, insecurities, maybe even past traumas in front of an audience and in front of most likely strangers. What is that dynamic like as you're on that journey through the course of an evening, bearing that for your audience in a, what I imagine is a very personal thing that most people don't let out, but that you are creating into a performance and sharing with others.
I imagine that you have a lot to say in terms of personal experience, and I want to let you say that. I just want to say a few things about what you're saying because it's really true and it's so different for each person.
Mm-hmm.
So each person in our dance troupe, like over time, has had a very different relationship with what they would like to convey, with what they're wanting to express, how vulnerable they're willing to be, and where that can be received and seen and applauded. It can be a huge, like almost a transformational experience. But each of those risks that each person's taking are really individual, and they're also that I always encourage, actually a lot of caution, not to just jump in full for, maybe full bore into some experience, potentially traumatic, and put that on stage, but rather to take really calculated risks in a container of safety and support so that you're doing little baby steps. And then I've noticed a lot with our dancers is that they start in one place and they do certain little pieces. And then as they grow and grow as performers, they're willing to step more deeply into it because they've had so many like positive reinforcing experiences around that. And they're able to explore like different erotic edges, I would say, like and take those risks to stretch themselves into potentially new identities, potentially new possibilities. And it's really amazing to watch each person's journey and the differences throughout time as it unfolds.
Yeah, I mean, I feel you said that so well. It's allowing yourself to be your full, beautiful, sexy, awkward self, and just going through that journey. I mean, I started off as Luke, and now I'm King Luke, and it feels so empowering. I really like where I am now as a dancer, a burlesque dancer, because of the troupe, and I don't think I would be able to grow as a person. If I didn't like allow myself to experience this troupe and test myself, like allow myself to be myself and understand that, hey, this isn't comfortable, but I'm going to poke at this because why is this uncomfortable? Like constantly checking in with myself, like what's happening here for you? Why is this happening? Where do you want to dive deeper here? What are you comfortable with? And being able to own that.
Shawty, get down, good lord. Baby, got 'em open all over town. Simply 'cause you don't play around.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Outsources on KGNU Boulder, Denver. I'm Sean Kenny, and I'm sitting in the studio tonight with Jenna Noah and Lacey Jump, two members of the Boulder Burlesque Troupe.
I think about the boy all the time. East side to the west side, pushing fat rides, it's no surprise.
You've talked a little bit about your own personal journey and being a part of this conscious burlesque performance troupe, and it also seems like kind of movement. But I'm curious about the other side of that and the audience. What are you hoping that an audience member who goes to a performance experiences, feels throughout the course of that performance, and what are you hoping they leave with after an event?
So I am always surprised because people come to this expecting maybe a more traditional burlesque show with just tassels and stripping, and they do not get that. And sometimes they're angry. Like, we had one review was like, this was not, you know, this, we did a piece recently. It was actually about psychosis, and they left and they were like, this was not sexy.
Right.
So people come and they're not always, they don't know what they're necessarily getting into. I think my goal as the director of this group is that people would really watch internally what comes up for them. Like, what turns you on? What turns you off? What completely confuses you and makes you question your own patterned understanding of your own sexuality? To really just be open to your whole experience as an audience member. And audience members leave, you know, in really different ways. Some people have come up to me after the show, like, feeling so in the, like, the creative, empowered feel and just so turned on. Mm-hmm. And other people, you know, questioning their own sexuality and what they're attracted to. And just all across the board, different experiences.
My hope is that you are entertained. You leave with some questions, you leave with some answers, or you leave with, I don't know, but that was cool. I think those are my intentions, really. It's shows, I really do enjoy audience interaction and the audience and just like being there for them, but I also really enjoy being there for me and to push those boundaries with myself because I'm not the most comfortable on stage. And so every time it's like, you're probably experiencing what I'm experiencing. So we're on the same page. Let's talk about it after the show if you want.
It seems to me, I've had the good fortune of being able to see one of your performances. And it is one of those experiences where I think you really, in some ways, you're talking about being brought out of your comfort zone as a performer, but I think you call that out of the audience as well, or ask that of the audience, to be loud, to show appreciation, to clap, to holler, to be a part of that experience as an active audience member rather than a more passive one. So it seems like there's also a piece there about bringing that audience member out from maybe their space of comfort.
Mm. I would agree with that. We highly encourage audience interaction. It's important. I mean, it's just important. That's it. That's the community. That's the space we want to have. And so we love it. They love it. I mean, why not push yourself? You're at a burlesque show. Participate. Yeah, You're living. You know?
Yeah, we pull people onto stage all the time. We have them participate sometimes in our dances, sometimes just in little, you know, fun audience participation games, and really breaking that fourth wall of this isn't just you to watch me entertain you. Like, this, you're a participant, and you're watching, you're applauding. Like, voyeurism is a participation, but just being present and, like, giving your energy allows us to be interacting. And that's the unique thing I think about theater at all in general. I mean, is that it's a live space, like, where anything is possible. And the audience is, you know, influencing the actor, the audience, like, sort of in a symbiotic relationship continuously.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that speaks to the consciousness aspect of it for us. Like, you are participating. Like, you are fully present. And we're asking you to check in with us, like, right there on stage as it's going. I mean, that's consciousness to me.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more specifically about queer identity and all this, and maybe LGBTQ identity, and how that fits into the space of Boulder Burlesque, and also maybe what the two of you bring to the troupe.
Each time I'm creating any dance piece or any, you know, I'm looking at it, the amazing part of this troupe is that there's an option and safety to create anything in your wildest, like, imagination. Like, so I've had pieces where I've been able to explore my own identity, my own sexuality, in terms of dancing with men, dancing with women, dancing with, like, everyone at the same time, dancing with myself. We've done a lot of drag pieces and stepping into, you know, my own gender. Like, how does it feel for me to stuff and to show up as a man? Like, how does that feel in terms of my body? And it's been such a place to be able to explore things safely without necessarily having to make a full commitment to any particular path, but to be able to say, this interests me, let's go here, now let's try something in this realm, and all of that being okay. You know, doing really dominant pieces, really submissive pieces, exploring being with men, being with women, being in any, you know, dressing as a man, then taking it all off and becoming a woman, like, doing all of these different anything can become possible in this realm. And so it's a really fun place, a creative place, a safe place to just play and to try on different hats, try on different roles, try on different identities. And I think for me personally, it's given me more realization of, like, oh my gosh, I want so much more than what I've created maybe in my life. And I have the potential to explore those, at least in these initiatory ways, these initial ways, just taking little, like, baby or steps maybe, but having a whole tapestry, a whole number of colors to explore the, you know, the sexual realm of all of it.
I mean, so I really enjoy the creative aspect. Like, I created this character and I'm constantly creating this character, and it doesn't really fit in a box. Sure, I am a female and I strongly identify as a female, but I also really acknowledge and love my masculine side. And I really, really, really want to foster it and nurture it and see what that means. And so being able to do that, to play with it on stage, is kind of fun because I don't really get to play with it every day. I don't get to change roles at work. So it's really fun to create this piece and spend that time fostering that and then giving it to to an audience and getting that feedback and seeing how it's received and how just what that experience was for me on stage, just trying something new and being this new character. I really, really appreciate that aspect of it. And I really do enjoy, now I'm stepping into just really owning myself and exploring the more sensual, feminine, curvy sides of me, because I don't really give that much space, and it's really terrifying to me for some reason. And I mean, I'm okay with that. There's a reason for that, and I'm figuring that out as I perform. And I mean, my last piece, I feel, was me breaking into this new, like, all right, I am woman. Here I am. This is me. This is my beautiful body, and I'm going to love it because it's mine, and I should love it. And so that's a lot of fun to play with and not being awkward. I'm so awkward sometimes when I'm like, okay, this piece needs to be, like, I'm going to be
this
great.
Sexual.
Just, yeah,
sensual.
this woman. I don't know why that's so hard. I'm going to be this wonderful, voluptuous, wonderful woman.
Where
and
you
it's
have
so
more
hard sometimes.
In the drag realm. Where
I kill
love,
it with drag.
Yeah,
I can do
can
that.
Step into your masculine
all day, any day.
Yeah. Really easily
but
on stage.
But being feminine on stage is so difficult, and it's so much fun. The last piece I did was,
it's a Beyonce piece. Hot. It was so hot.
I loved it. And it just like loving the fact that I'm a woman.
And you had someone drag in drag,
yeah,
that you were dancing.
That was
on
a lot of fun. It was a draglesque piece, which means burlesque drag together. We're both females, and we identify as such, but she played a more masculine dominant role, and I was a female and experiencing that, being sensual and wonderful, and not necessarily there to tease anyone or do anything like that, but just to tease myself, I guess, just be with myself. Sit back and watch.
Yeah, and you really are talking about creating a space where you have permission, or maybe to the extent able, you're able to provide some safety for subverting those norms, mm-hmm. and exploring things outside of, you know, maybe definitions of taboos. One of the things that I've been thinking about as you're talking, and this idea of connection to LGBTQ identity, is sometimes I do get the impression that perhaps some LGBTQ identified people seek to in some ways separate themselves from the sexual parts of the identity because of a fear or maybe a completely valid reaction to society's desire to hypersexualize, mm-hmm. LGBTQ identity. And so I'm wondering if you experience that tension as you're doing this work and in being a part of Boulder Burlesque.
Yes. You're saying that and I'm like jumping out of my skin. Of course. I mean, there is this expected presence on stage. And I really enjoy when I'm announced, like when my stage name is said and I come out and the look on the faces. Sometimes it's like, yeah, I'm King Luke and I'm a female right now. Does this shock you? Why does this shock you? I'm sorry. I'm going to really enjoy doing this right now, and love it. So, I mean, there is that aspect of it where there is a lot expected of you. But at the same time, that's what's so beautiful about it, to be able to break those walls down and say, hey, you're expecting this. And it is kind of hard for me to like not live up to that expectation because it's kind of awkward. But at the same time, I'm going to do me and explore my character and explore myself and do what feels right in this moment for me as I'm doing this piece. And then like flowing through that throughout the entire show is really cool because, I mean, our last show in particular, like we've had, I mean, I've had to like jump from male to female, like in 2 minutes. And that's kind of fun. Like playing those roles. I love them. I love it. And it's okay. And I really do enjoy when it brings up something for me. Like, why do I feel like I need to to give them what they want and be what they want me to be? Like, why is it not okay for me to be who I want to be in this space? It's all about balance. Yeah, I do go backstage sometimes and like fall down like, oh, Jesus, I can't even.
Yeah.
I don't know what this means or what it looks like. And they want this thing and I want to give it to them, but I can't. It's a balance.
Yeah.
It's a tough balancing act sometimes.
I'm so happy you kind of bring up that because, again, as you're talking, I'm just thinking about how really we are all kind of on this journey of navigating our identity and kind of mining the depths of what that is and how it impacts the way we view ourselves and meet the world and walk in the world. And in some ways, Boulder Burlesque does allow you to step in and out of a few different worlds where the rules are different or the norms are different or fears change. And you do step in and out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, as we're kind of wrapping up, would you mind just saying a little bit about where you feel like you are in that journey and how Boulder Burlesque has kind of influenced your particular point in that journey right now?
I'm doing, right now we're leading a lot of workshops and we're actually leaving from here to go work with a number of people in this area. And so this space, this creative space where people, me personally, other people can step into their own, like all parts of themselves, is like really fertile land. It's a juicy place, and it's so precious to be able to watch and to be able to witness. Like my own personal identity has changed a lot based on my stage character as Madame Mercy, the things that she's been able to be exposed to, the realms that I've been able to jump into and out of. And I think what happens more and more is that I realize that this idea of a character is just a playful, fun way of actually just saying like, oh, other parts of my identity. You know, it's not that it's separate. And I think most actors and performers, they realize as they create characters, in order for it to be an authentic experience, it has to actually be resonant to your internal world, to parts of yourself that you are exploring, or no one's going to buy it. No one's going to be like, oh, yeah. You know, no one's going to be able to also identify, because people identify to the authentic experience. So these explorations, as much as they are in a character, they're really real for me as a performer. But I think for all of the different people that I work with and that are in the troupe currently.
Having the space where I can test the waters, not necessarily commit, as you said, to these different roles and these different things, being a character, whatever that looks like, is really healthy for me. Just to be checked into myself and keep a healthy space. Yeah, I tried that. Didn't really work. All right. That character died on stage last night. Done. Moving on. You know?
Right. It's allowing yourself just a wider palette, like more of a spectrum, to sort of jump in and explore your own sexual, like, wholeness. Like,
yeah.
Whatever that means. It might be related to your sexual identity. It might be related to your gender identity. It might be related to just some piece of embodiment, like allowing yourself to more fully be whatever energetically you are in that moment. Like, mm-hmm. It's such a, I don't know that it can be defined for me in one particular way, but it's really, I think for most of us, like a quest for some type of a fuller wholeness of like, oh, all of the realm, you know, I've been able to stretch myself into these different areas and to actually explore them. And I've been able to give myself permission for that. And in the same realm, like as you're speaking to, give the audience a little view into that so that they can vicariously be exchanging with that performer experience.
Yeah. It's allowing me to own myself and constantly challenge and try myself, which is big for me. The adventure should never stop, and the stage is a huge adventure.
You're listening to Outsources on KGNU. I'm Sean Kenny, and today I've been talking with two members of Boulder Burlesque, Lacey Jump and Jenna Noah. Boulder Burlesque is a troupe that defines their work as conscious burlesque, which delves into sensuality and intimacy through community, group process, somatic experience, and artistic expression. For more information about Boulder Burlesque, including information about upcoming shows and workshops, visit our website at www.kgnu.org/outsources.
So let me tell you how it goes. You're blowing my mind, maybe in time, baby, I can get you in my mind.
It's 7 o'clock here on KGNU, Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, 93.7 FM in Netherlands, and streaming live online at kgnu.org. 7 o'clock on a Monday evening, that means it's time for the Opera Box. And good evening. Welcome to KGNU's Opera Box. I'm your host, Ron Nadell. And tonight, I've got a playlist featuring great father-daughter moments in opera. Moments which are dramatic, moving, tragic, or tender, such as Daddy Dear from Puccini's Johnny Schicchi. Mio Babbino Caro, Oh Daddy Dear, from Puccini's comedy Johnny Schicchi. I know it sounds like a love aria, but it isn't. Loretta is asking her daddy for a favor. She wants to marry Ranuccio, but he doesn't have enough money to get his family's permission. Johnny Schicchi has a genius for larceny, and Loretta pleads with him to help Ranuccio's family find a way to modify the will of their freshly departed patriarch. And in that recording, we heard Angela Georgiou with Antonio Pappano conducting the London Symphony Orchestra. And it's about 3.5 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday morning, Monday evening, and you're listening to KGNU's Opera Box. I've got a playlist of father-daughter moments in opera. Now, the one we just heard was tender. And I've selected two by Verdi, one touching, the other dramatic. And I've got one by Wagner, which I think is one of the most powerful in all of opera. Now, you can follow me on Twitter at Nadel_classical. That's Nadel_classical. And you can find all my program podcasts on afterfm.com. Afterfm.com is KGNU's streaming website. Check it out. All your DJ's podcasts can be found there. Yes, father-daughter evening. Well, this first one we're going to hear by Verdi is Rigoletto. It's one of his best-known operas and one of his earliest big hits. It's a tragic story of revenge that goes horribly wrong. The plot revolves around the relationship between Rigoletto and his daughter, Gilda. Rigoletto is the hunchback jester to the lecherous and villainous Duke of Mantua. Rigoletto is mocked for his deformity, and he holds the world in contempt, and he's bitter because of the death of his young wife many years ago.